السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا So we're picking up on the twenty-fifth etiquette. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الآدب الخامس والعشرون the 25th etiquette. لا يشتغل بالأوراد بحضرة الشيخ فإن كان لابد من القراءة فليجلس حيث لا يراه. The silent should not get busy with different types of litanies or azkar in the presence of the sheikh. And if one simply must recite, for example, Quran, then he should sit where the sheikh does not see him. فإذا commentary ما يستفيد السالك بحضرة المرشد بالرابطة القلبية لا يجد بالذكر والأوراد. That what the salik finds in terms of benefit in the presence of the sheikh by engaging in what we call rabita qalbi, or connecting to the heart of the sheikh, la yajidu bi dhikri wal awrad, one does not find through making dhikr and through different litanies. And this sort of happens for two reasons. So you have a salik who sort of becomes habitual, and it becomes an ada for them to, you know, read a certain surah at a certain time every single day. Or they, you know, usually spend such and such time reading, you know, subhanallah wa bihamdi subhanallah al-azim. And that's their general habit. And so even when they come and have the opportunity to meet with the sheikh, they sort of feel like they need to do that, and they feel uncomfortable if they're not doing that. And believe it or not, this can actually even be from the nafs, and it might, and it can actually be from shaitan as well. And it's generally from the nafs, because the nafs sometimes, if it's really used to something, sort of it's irrational, and it just likes to, creature of comfort. And sometimes change is very uncomfortable. If the goal is really Allah and spiritual progression, then a person should be open to and flexible to move to that type of activity that will give a person greater spiritual benefit. So just because a person is sort of dogmatic about something and then they start feeling uncomfortable, then they're doing the dhikr not necessarily for the sake of Allah and getting close to Him, they're doing it for the feeling of trying to avoid being uncomfortable, or they're just becoming sort of OCD about it. They serve this compulsion and they're satisfying that compulsion. A person should always sort of, you know, keep the goal in mind, a lot of the problems actually dissipate. And that's the same way also, for example, I mean, same type of reasoning, that, you know, the sheikh is not the goal either. Sometimes that happens to the salik as well, that they think that, oh, it becomes so enamored and so engrossed with the sheikh that the sheikh himself becomes in and of himself sort of a goal. And then you sort of see a salikin competing with each other for the sheikh's attention there, and then they engage in the person loses sincerity, they hide their bad things, say only good things, this and that. I mean, that's not the point. And you're missing the point. And so much fitna actually happens sometimes because of this amongst the muridin, amongst the salikin, because they're losing sight of what's really the goal. That's one reason why this might happen. The second time way that this might happen is a person may have read something or known about something, and when they come into the presence of the sheikh, you know, they get this like sort of spiritual boost and they become like hyper religious. And they say, oh, I'm going to do dhikr now, and I'm going to do this. And they feel like, you know, I'm really progressing. And look at me now. I'm doing so much this dhikr. I'm doing this wird and so on and so forth. I'm going to read manzil. I'm going to do this. When in fact, it would be just more beneficial if they sat quietly in the presence of the Shaykh, even if they're not doing anything, and do rabit al-qalbi. So that also needs a little bit of commentary of what rabit al-qalbi is. So normally, when the salik or muraqabah, they imagine that nur is descending upon the heart, is pushing away the darkness inside, and that in response, the heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. Now, when a person does rabit al-qalbi, and when they're with the Shaykh, they don't see that nur coming, or they don't become aware of that nur descending upon their heart. Rather, the nur descends first upon the heart of the Shaykh. And from there, from the heart of the Shaykh, the nur is coming to the salik's heart. And then the same thing. Then it's pushing away the darkness, and the heart is saying, Allah, Allah. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, regardless of how high a person's lesson is, they always do rabit al-qalbi on lesson one. So it's always latif al-qalb. It's always to the heart. And this is what is termed as rabit al-qalbi. And you only basically get to do this, you only get a chance to do this when you're in the presence of the Shaykh. And that's why a person, and since those opportunities are limited, a person should try to take as much maximum benefit and do as much rabit al-qalbi as they can when they're around in the vicinity of the Shaykh. I mean, I would remember, like, when people go, perhaps when someone would, a Shaykh would go on a trip with Hazuji, you just sit in the room quietly. He does whatever he's doing, but you just do rabit al-qalbi, and you try to do as much of it as possible, even if it's the whole day. And it's really a very powerful way of, progress. So then he says, "Mithlul murshidi kamithli shams." The similitude of the Shaykh is like the similitude of the sun. "Wamithlul muridi kamithli wardi wal fakihati." And the similitude of the student is like the similitude of a rose or a flower in a flower. فَكَمَا يَحْسُنُ لَذَّةُ no, and fruit. فَكَمَا يَحْسُنُ لَذَّةُ الْفَوَاكِهِ بِحَرَارَةِ الشَّمْسِ. So in the same manner that the taste of a fruit becomes goodly through the warmth of the sun, أو يحصل الروعة للأوراد كذلك or what's that called roses come does تأتي الأنوار في قلب السالك بتوجه المرشد the different lights and nur comes into the heart of the salik through the tawajjuh or the spiritual attention of the murshid. So this one thing about, I don't know if I've ever talked about tawajjuh before in this class, but this is, I mean, there's examples of it even from the hadith literature of sort of the miraculous effects that this type of spiritual attention can have on an individual. But I think it might be covered later in the kitab, so we won't go and delve into it right now about what the haqiqah of tawajjuh is. وَإِنْ أَرَادَ السَّالِكْ أَنْ يَشْتَغِلَ فِي وَلْدٍ But if it is such that the salik desires to, for example, engage in some type of daily practice, فَنْ يَشْتَغِلْ فِيهِ بِحَيْثُ لَا يَرَاهُ الْمُرْشِدِ And he should get busy in it in such a way that the murshid doesn't see it. And the reason that this is an adab or an etiquette is that the teacher shouldn't feel that the student doesn't value their presence and doesn't value the inner benefit that they can get from the sheikh, and they should not see this as a sign of the student's attention basically turning elsewhere, sort of leaving the teacher by the side. What's a better way to put it? Ignoring. It's like a way of ignoring, basically, the teacher. So that's not generally considered good etiquette. Al-adab al-sadis wal-ashroon, the 26th adab. Kullu faydin batiniyin yasilu ilayhi ya'taqiduhu barakata murshidihi. That every type of spiritual effulgence, that our inner effulgence that reaches to him, he should think of it as the blessing of his sheikh. وَلَوْ رَأَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَوِ الْمُرَاقَبَةِ. And if he sees in a dream or during muraqabah, أَنَّهُ يَصِلُ الْفَيْضُ مِنْ شَيْخٍ آخَرٍ, that he is receiving the spiritual effulgence from another sheikh. فَلْيَزْعَمْ أَنَّ لَطِيفَةً مِنْ لَطَائِفِ الْمُرْشِدِ. So that he should think that a spiritual point from the spiritual points of the murshid, تَمَثَّلَتْ فِي سُرَّةِ ذَلِكَ الشَّيْخِ, has assumed the physical form and assumed the form and come in the semblance of that particular sheikh. فَإِذَا كَمَا أَنَّ مِصْبَاحًا مُرْتَبِطَةٌ بِسِلْكٍ. In the same way that a light or lamp is associated or tied to a cord, فَمَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكَهْرَبَاءِ تَصِلُ بِوَاسِطَةِ ذَلِكَ السِّلْكِ. So whatsoever reaches it in terms of electricity reaches it by way of that thread. So وَأُنْ تَأْتَ مِنَ السَّدِ الْعُلْيَا بِالتَّرْدِيلِ. Regardless of whether or not it comes from the upper story or level by means of a tarbil, they said this means triple, maybe it's like a triple cord, I don't know. أَوِسَّدِ الْعُلْيَا بِمَنْجَلَ. Or it comes from the higher level or story via a hook, I think this is. كَذَلِكَ كُلُّ فَيْضٍ بَاطِنِيٍّ. In the similar manner, every type of inner phase, يَجِدُهُ murid, that the or spiritual like nur, you can translate phase as nur as well. This inner nur, يَجِدُهُ murid, that the murid finds it, يَسِلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ قَلْبِ الشَّيْخ, that it reaches him through way of that from the heart of his sheikh. So the heart of the sheikh is like the cord. It doesn't matter where the lamp is plugging in to get electricity. It has to come via the cord. In the same way, it has to come via the heart of the sheikh. وَإِنْ كَانَ يَأْتِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ آخَرٍ. Even if that electricity, quote-unquote, or that faith is coming from another sheikh. And so the electricity is like the faith is like the electricity. In the qalb of the sheikh is like the cord. فَإِنْ رَأَى سَالِكٌ أَنَّهُ يَسِلُ إِلَيْهِ الْفَيْضِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ آخَرٍ. So if a salik sees that he is receiving faith from another sheikh, فَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّ لَطِيفَةً مِنْ لَطَائِفِ شَيْخِهِ يُسِلُ إِلَيْهِ الْفَيْضِ, then he should know that one of the spiritual points from the spiritual points of his sheikh, يُسِلُ إِلَيْهِ الْفَيْضِ, are making this spiritual effulgence reach to him, مُصَوَّرَةً بِهَذِهِ السُّورَةِ, in that particular, coming into that particular form. وَتَجِبُ أَن تَكُونَ جِهَةَ قَلْبِ الْمُرِيدِ وَاحِدَةً. And it's necessary for the direction and the qibla of the heart of the student to be one. And thus it is كَمَا قِيلَ, as it has been said, خُذْ وَاحِدًا خُذْ مُحْكَمًا, take one strongly. سافر الشيخ محمد سعيد القرشي. So it's an interesting story. Sheikh Muhammad Sa'id al-Qurshi, he once traveled مرة إلى مقبرة حضرة المجدد رحمه الله. He went to the grave of حضرة المجدد الفيصاني رحمه الله. إمام رباني إمام سرهندي. وكان معه في هذا السفر عدة من مريديه. And in this particular journey, there was a number of his students, وخلفائه, and his vicegerents, منهم, and amongst his خلفاء, الشيخ زوار حسين الشريف, and Sheikh Muhammad Saeed Al-Kuhandi, رحمهم الله تعالى. So, اشتغلوا في المراقبة طويلا. They got busy and engaged themselves in مراقبة for a long time. حتى كلم الشيخ المجدد في عدة أمور. Until it came to the point that Mujaddad al-Fithani, he spoke regarding certain matters. And then Mujaddad al-Fithani, ثم طلب الشيخ المجدد. So Mujaddad al-Fithani, then he requested أن يترك خلفاؤه. يعني he told Sheikh Muhammad Sa'id al-Qurshi that you should leave his خلفاء. يعني Sheikh Zawar Hussein Shah and Sheikh Muhammad al-Kuhandi and some other people as well. He said لعدة أيام, like leave them by my grave for a certain amount of time. فقال الشيخ لخلفائه. So Sheikh said to his خلفاء, إني أريد السفر, فخذوا ماذا أنتم فاعلون. That I'm intending to travel now, so decide what you're going to do. فقال الشيخ محمد سعيد الكوهندي. So Sheikh Muhammad Sa'id al-Kuhandi, he said, يا سيدي. He said, oh my master, هل تأمرنا أن نمكث ها هنا أو هو مفوض إلى رأينا؟ إن نشاء نمكث وإن نشاء نسافر معك. He said, do you order us that we have to stay here? Or is it sort of up to us, left to our opinion, that if we want, we can stay here, but if we want, we can go with you. فقال المرشد, هذا على رأيكم. He says, this is your up to your decisions, up to your opinion. إني بلغت رسالة حضرة المجدد. That I just basically delivered the message of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Fithani. فقال الشيخ الكوهندي. So Sheikh Kuhandi said, يا شيخنا نذهب معك. That he said, oh Sheikh, we want to go with you. مجددنا أنت فقط لا غير. That our Mujaddad is only you and there's no one else. So subhanAllah, هذا يكون ارتباط المرشد. So he said, subhanAllah, this is what it means to be connected to the Shaykh. الدعوة من المجدد الذي هو سيد السلسلة. That they had an invitation from the Mujaddad al-Fithani, who is the master of the silsila, really. ويبلغ الرسالة شيخه ومرشده. And the person who is delivering the message itself is his own Shaykh and his own murshid, spiritual guide. فما عاجب مع هذا كله أن يقول. And so how amazing it is that despite all of this that he said, يا سيدي, oh my master, oh my chief, إن مجدنا سيادتك. That indeed our reviver and our مجدد is your leadership. فكان هؤلاء يؤتون كيفيات. So these people were, and this is just sort of a sort of an aside because it's an amazing story, you know, sort of like a karama type of thing. So then, or sort of a, you know, supernatural sort of story. So these are from that kayfiyat of our mashayikh. فَكَانَ هَؤُلَاءِ. So these mashayikh and these righteous elders of our silsila, يُؤْتُونَ كَيْفِيَات. They were given certain type of inner openings. لا يصل سالك اليوم غبار طريقه. That the student of today doesn't even reach to even the dust of that road. إلا ما شاء الله. Right? Yes, there's, you know, some people. I think I was talking to my son yesterday, and he was telling me a story that Murshid Alam, that one time he was sitting with everyone. He said one time Murshid Alam, he really got into Josh, he like got into this like mode. And he said to the effect, he's like, "Tum logo ko malum hai ki zikr kalbi kya hoti hai?" He said, "You guys know what zikr kalbi is?" He's like, "Tum nahi jante ho, you don't know, right? Isko, iske, he's like, "None of you have zikr kalbi. Aapko pata hai kisko hai zikr kalbi? Do you know who has zikr kalbi?" He says, "Zulfiqar." He's like, "Zulfiqar has zikr kalbi." And it's really, I mean, subhanAllah, then he told him to come. He said, "Come up," and it was just one of those moments. So anyway, these type of kaifiyat, sometimes we can't even think about. So illa mashallah, except there's some people even in later times who reach very high statuses. Hikayatan. And this reminds me of a story. There's one of Hazrat's Khulafa, very prominent Khulafa actually, who's a Mufti as well. And I was talking to him about something. And then someone asked, I think, that, you know, someone said that, you know, Hazrat is from the Qutb of the time. So, I mean, there's this whole hierarchy amongst the Sufia. I'm not very familiar with it. I've come across it in my readings of different levels and, you know, and like, you know, really sort of one of the very top levels is the Qutb. So he said that, you know, we've heard that, you know, there's Abdal, there's Qutb, so on and so forth. So, and Abdal actually comes in Hadith. It's in Ibn Majah, if I'm not mistaken, that there will be 40 Abdal in Sham. So, what's that called? So he asked him, he said, so then the Mufti Sam, he said, like our opinion of him is even more, hum to mujaddid kehte, that we consider him to be the mujaddid of the century, you know? So, and it's, I mean, students should have that type of, and we talked about that story, right, about the three students and how one had one opinion of another, of a sheikh, another had another opinion of the sheikh, and then the third one had another opinion of the sheikh, and how one thought he was kamil, but cannot make others kamil, and so on and so forth. And then how the one who had the kamil i'tiqad in his sheikh is the one who ended up coming forward. Moving forward. Okay, here's a story. حكاية كانت في أسرة الشيخ أبي سعيد الخزار خرقة موروثة. That in the family or in the house of Sheikh Abi Sa'id al-Khazar, there used to be a piece of cloth that was inherited piece of cloth من الأجداد that had been coming down from the ancestors and grand forefathers. واشتهر أن مشايخ هذه الأسرة and it was famous that the مشايخ of this family ألقت توجهاتهم that they used to throw their توجه في تلك الخرقة into that خرقة and so this توجه so for example like in the Shavili Tariqa like Sheikh Nuhamin believe he's Shavili. Their mashayikh actually throw, or they used to throw their tawajjuh and cast their tawajjuh even in the food that they would give to the salik on occasion. So they would cast some of their tawajjuh, these mashayikh of this family, into this khirqa or this piece of cloth. وَقَدْ ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا الْبَرَكَاتْ مِرَارًا and many times would different blessings would manifest from it. And you know, I think it was Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah or something, or Ibn Qayyim, one of the two, actually had a khirqa from a Sufi Sheikh as well. وَلَمَّا أَجَازَ الشَّيْخُ مُرْشِدَهُ منعه خرقة. And so when the sheikh used to give ijazah or licensure to his student, منعه خرقة, he would give him this خرقة, right? It was sort of like a diploma, if you will. وكان الشيخ يتبرك بخرقة. Oh, no, I'm sorry. ولما أجاز الشيخ مرشدا, أجاز الشيخ مرشده منه خرقة. So Sheikh Abi Sa'id Al-Khazar, when he was given ijazah by his sheikh, he also gave him a different khirqa. So he had one that was inherited from his family, and all the mashayikh in his family, and his forefathers would cast their tawajjuhat in that, and then one was from his own sheikh, that he, when he got ijazah. وَكَانَ الشَّيْخُ يَتَبَرَّكُ بِالْخِرْقَتَيْنِ. And so the sheikh used to take barakah, from blessing from both pieces of cloth, both mantles. فَلَبْمَتْ تُلِيَ بِمَرَضِ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ لِخَادِمِهِ. And so when he was tried with the sickness of death, or his fatal illness, he said to his servant, أَلْقِ عَلَيَّ الْخِرْقَةَ حَتَّى أَسْتَفِيدَ مِنْ بَرَكَاتِهِ. He said, cast upon me, or throw upon me the mantle or the cloth, hatta astafida min barakatihi, until I can, such that I may benefit from its blessing. فأسأل الخادم, so the servant said, أيُّ الخرقتين, which of the two khirqas shall I throw upon you or lay upon you? فقال الشيخ, the sheikh said, أنا أكرم كثيرا خرقة آبائي وأجدادي. He said, I greatly respect and honor the khirqa of my forefathers and my forefathers and ancestors. ولكن أريد الآن خرقة شيخي. But at this point in life, or at the verge of death, I prefer the cloth of my own sheikh. فإني أريد أن أموت. For indeed, I desire to die, مُسْتَغْرِقًا فِي أَنْوَارِ شَيْخِي, drowning in the different lights of my own sheikh, وَمُرْشِدِي, in my spiritual guide, فِي آخِرِ أَيَّامِي, in my last days. So that's actually another adab, is that a person should have that type of ittiqad, that type of closeness, that type of singularity in their relationship with their murshid. الأدب السابع والعشرون يروى للناس من كلام المرشد ما يفهمونه وما يراه فوق فهم العوام لا يذكره أبدا فبعض الكلام يكون للخواص فقد. So it be narrated to people from what the from the speech of the murshid or from the teachings of the sheikh, ما يفهمونه, what people can are able to understand, وما يراه فوق فهم العوام, and what the person, the student sees as lying above the comprehension of the common man, then he should not mention it to them ever, because some speech is for special people only, or for select people only. فائدة لا يق commentary لا يقيل لا يليق بالسالك أن ينقل ما يسمعه من حضرة المرشد من أمور المعرفة لكل أحد. So it's not befitting for the student to narrate everything he hears from the gatherings or from the presence from the sheikh, from with regards to those matters of معرفة and gnosis, to everyone. فبعض الأمور يحتاج لفهمها إلى كفاءة. And so certain matters require, in order to understand them, a degree of what do you call it, كفو, compatibility, ability. وبدون الكفاءة, and if a person is not that capable yet, or is not ready, لا ينفع مثل هذا الكلام, then this speech doesn't benefit them, بل قد يضر, but rather it harms them. And you know, in the Quran is even people can benefit from it and they can be harmed from it. يُدِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people, they are misled by the Quran. The Quran doesn't mislead them, but they read the Quran and it leads them to misguidance. Either they misunderstand it or because of some type of inner khabatha and filth that lies within, they take it in a very wrong way, in an evil way, and they go way, 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 way astray. And you see this a lot of times with Orientalists. You see this with the enemies of Islam, that they take that same Quran, which is a source of hidayah for 1 billion some people on the face of the earth, guiding them towards righteousness, towards piety, towards closeness to Allah. And that same thing increases them in kufr, increases them in rebellion, increases them in ingratitude, increases them in arrogance against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they take all ultisidi meanings, you know, wrong meanings from the Quran. And I can give you like a simple example of this. So, you know, if there's a sheikh and someone is just hasn't... something as simple as a person says, oh, you know, I pressed the, this is not really an example of what's here, but I'll give you an example of sort of the same genre of things. Someone pressing doing khidma and, you know, pressing the sheikh's feet. And they go and mention it to someone. They're like, what? Like, why would you do that? And they're like, you guys are so messed up. And just because of that, they get so turned off that they don't benefit from anything else. Now, the sheikh doesn't necessarily want that khidma, and they're only doing that so that the student can have, you know, an opportunity for them to get the barakat of doing khidma, because we know khidma is a way of progress. And so there's a lot of background to something like that, but sometimes if a person is not ready for it, even if you explain it to them, it's not ready emotionally, right? One thing is being ready intellectually, but there's one thing is being ready psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. And sometimes many of the things that happen in the tasawwuf, when a person is not ready for it, they're, instead of benefiting them, it actually harms them. What's that called? There's some funny examples of this. You know, in Zambia, one of the mashayikh, he was actually doing zikr jahri, right? So he was doing jahri muraqabah, which on rare occasion you might find the mashayikh doing. And so he is really pounding some, you know, hardcore tawajjuh on the people who were there. So for people, and especially for, you know, most of the people who've been Suluk, who spent years in silence, you know, when that happens, it's sort of very powerful. And so, you know, everyone was like, really, it's like, wow, and this and that. And then there's a person said, oh, yeah, you know, and there's a person who was not inducted in Suluk, you know, and they just sort of happened to be there. And they're like, yeah, you know, the talk was really great. And, you know, it's good that it's zikr, but, you know, he didn't have to do it out loud. That sort of scared me. So, you know, it's the same thing, but, and so that person might have gotten turned off. And so these are simple examples, but oftentimes, you know, on a more serious note, the sheikh will say certain things, but it's not for everyone's ears. So there's a certain amount, a person has to use a certain amount of discretion about who to say what to. وَقَالَ إِبْنْ حَجَرْ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ إِبْنْ حَجَرْ says, وَقَالَ عَلِيٌ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that Ali رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ said, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْرِفُونَ that narrate to people or speak to people with what they understand or what they recognize. أَتُحِبُّونَ أَن يُكَذِّبَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ that do you like that they falsify Allah and His Messenger? And that's why, you know, even if you're giving da'wah, say you might know a hadith, just sometimes that I won't necessarily mention everything to every single person that I might be giving da'wah to, because they're just not ready for it. They won't understand it. They're, like, for example, there's someone who's completely mired in feminism, and then you come and bring some more conservative aspects of Islam. This is a person who's not ingrained in haya. They don't even have a concept of haya. They don't understand, have a concept of the type of humility that Islam enjoins. So if you just start mentioning some of those things, that, oh, you know, sister, you need to wear hijab, and you need to do this, and you can't work here or there anymore, they're like, they won't even come. I mean, you're just closing the door for them immediately. Or they might say, oh, what type of religion is this that doesn't allow freedom of speech or something like that? And they're so, that's such an ingrained thought in their mind that you can't even breach it without turning them away. And so they'll just deny Allah and His Rasul. So you speak to people from the context that they can understand, you know, to things that are familiar for them. And then you create that bridge. And then these other things sort of come along as well. Rawahu al-Bukhari. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Ma anta muhaddithan qawman hadithan," that you don't narrate something to a people or say something to a people, "la tablughuhu uquluhum," that their intellects don't reach to it, or they are not able to comprehend it, "illa kana li ba'dihim fitna," except that for some of them, and it's not for all of them, but for some of them, it becomes a huge fitna. It becomes a fitna. And then Rawahu Muslim. All right, I think let's try to wrap up the chapter. We'll push a little bit today. Al-Adab al-Thamin wal-Ashroon, in u'tiya jahan aw mansaban falyaqbalhu li ridha Allah ta'ala wa la yuqbalu ila amrin dunyawiyyin. That if he's given some type of position, some type of honor, or some type of high position, then he should accept it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should not accept it for dunyawi purposes. So fa'ida, in wuhiba shaykhu mansiban aw rutbatan falyahsibhu ni'matan ghayra mutaraqiba. That if a shaykh is given a certain status or position or level, then he should think of it as a blessing, and a blessing that was not expected. وَلْيَقْبُلْهُ رُوحًا وَقَلْبًا وَلْيَشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. But he should accept it without hesitation of soul or heart, right? With one's full soul and heart. And he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالشَّرْطُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْقُبُولِيَّةِ لَلْكَفَاءَةِ. So the condition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acceptance, not one's aptitude. Right? Al-kafa'a, you can say aptitude. In sha'a yablughu min al-tarab ila al-aflaq. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can take someone from the dirt to the cosmos, right, to the skies and horizons. Man yaqdiru an yaqula aha'ula'i min Allahi أَهَؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا اجْتَبَى. And who is able to say, أَهَؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا, are these the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, chose from amongst us? Like, why them? What's so special about them? Right? And so I know about this, you know, this one murid, or this one student, they're, in many ways, they don't have any great accolades to their name. They don't have any, on the surface, anything so amazing about them. And so many times in the circles of, you know, students, you know, people are like, why that person, right? Like, why do they get such and such attention from such and such chef, and why do they why have they gotten X, Y, and Z name on? Like, what's so special about them? They're just like, we're more educated, we're more this, we've known such and such longer, we've done this. But this is not a matter of any of that. This is just a matter of qubuliyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lift whomever He wants, whenever He wants. So who are we to say that, why them? And who has the ability to even question that? So اشتبى فضيل بن عياد من طائفة قطاع الطريق وجعله رئيس الأولياء. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose فضيل بن عياد from a group of brigands and highway robbers. وجعله رئيس الأولياء, and He made him the chief of the أولياء, the leader of the awliya. وَأَخْرَجَ خَالِدًا من عباد الأصنام، وألبسه تاج الله، وألبسه تاج سيف الله. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted or took out Khalid from the worshippers of idols, and he clothed him or he crowned him with the crown of Saifullah, right? Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. قال قائل إن لفت نظر كرم فجميع العيوب فنون فنون. Maybe this refers to that if a one is wrapped with the glance of lutf and of generosity and rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of a person's faults are annihilated. قال للتين القليل الملقى تحت الأقدام إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to a little bit of dirt that is cast below the feet, إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة, that I am in the Quran, that I am going to make in the earth a vicegerent. تجري روح الرحمة الإلهية فلا تتأخر سيرورة المردود مقبولا والتراب ذهبا. And so the winds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of divine rahmah, began to stir, or stirred or flowed, and it was there was no wait and there's no delay in the becoming of something that was rejected into something that was accepted, and the becoming of dirt into gold. إن شاء أجلس قلبا في صف الأولياء وذكره في القرآن. And if he wants, he can seat a dog in the ranks of the awliya and zikr the dog in the Quran. And this is in Surah Al-Kahf. وَقَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. And then سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ سَبْعَةٌ ثَامِنُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ قُلْ رَبِّي عَالَمَ بِعَدَّتِهِمْ مَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. See how many times that this dog is itself mentioned in the Quran. وَيَزِيدُ فِي الرُّتْبَةِ, and he exalted this dog. إِنْ فَازَ مَشْرَبُ الرَّحْمَةِ يَجْذِبُ الْمَطْلُوبُ نَفْسُ الطَّالِبِ فَأَيُّ سَبَبٍ لِلْحَرْمَانِ بَلْ سَيُصْبِحُ تُرَابُ ذَهَبًا. That if the drinking hole of rahma is successful, then it draws in the one who is desired, nafsa talib, so what is the way that a person can be deprived? But rather the dirt will become into gold. وَأَمَّا أَنْ يَظُنُّ السَّالِكُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِأَهْلٍ. But if a student thinks that he is not capable for it, فَسَوْفَ لَا يَكُونُ أَهْلًا إِلَى مَوْتِهِ, so then he will not be capable till the day he dies. وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ صَارَ أَهْلًا. And so whosoever thinks that he is appropriate for that, and he is, Ahl, how do you translate that? Deserving. Whoever believes that they are deserving, then that is a delil that he is not deserving. So this is sort of like, this levels the playing field. This is how a person should think. A person should always think that they're undeserving. And the reality of the matter is that till the day they die, they'll always be undeserving. And if a person ever thinks that they are deserving, then they are actually undeserving. And so many years with Sheikh Hussein, I can hardly think of a time that he would have advanced me in a lesson except at a time where I didn't expect it, and at a time where I thought I was not deserving of it. And it's just really like you really, really think that, you know, like one of the very advanced students in Tariqa, I was talking to him one time, and he said that, you know, sometimes when I get advanced, it makes me question the Tariqa itself, you know, like, how could someone like me, like, is this even real, like, how could you be advancing someone like me? It's like that type of effacement when it comes to a person. But at the same time, when a person's advanced, that's a then in their lesson, then they should accept it. They shouldn't. What a person should not say is, "Oh, Sheikh, you know, I don't think I should. Are you sure?" If they weren't sure, they wouldn't have told you, right? I mean, you just have to. If sometimes, and same thing, if they, for example, they tell you to give a talk somewhere, or they tell you to do X, Y, and Z work of the deen, you're like, "Well, I'm nothing. You know, I'm like dirt, I'm like this." That's not humility. The person should just say, "Alhamdulillah, jihazat, I'll do it," and you just do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way. The Shaykh will make dua, inshallah. And the last adab, to round off the chapter, inshallah. لا يقصد إلى شيخ آخر بدون إذن شيخه لأجل البيعة حتى يفوز بثروة السعادة. That a person should not seek another sheikh without the permission of his own sheikh in order to buy from the other sheikh until he actually achieves the nisbah from his own sheikh. فإذا الأوداء ممكنة لاستفادة السائل من مشايخ غير شيخه هي. That the possible reasons why a student may benefit from a sheikh, from sheikhs, other than his own sheikh, are the following. Number one, أن يكون مع شيخ علاقة البيعة ولكن احتاج للسفر إلى بلد آخر لأجل المعاش أو طلب العلم. That he has, he took bay'ah with a sheikh, but then he was required to travel to another city, for example, for the sake of earning a livelihood, seeking knowledge, something like that. وَوَضَعُ ذَلِكَ بَلَدْ سَيِّئَةٌ جِدًّا. And the conditions of that particular city are extremely bad. وَإِتِّصَالُ بِالشَّيْخِ صَعْبٌ. And it is difficult to keep connection with a sheikh. ولكن تيسر له صحبة شيخ هناك من نفس السلسلة. But it is easy for him to keep the company of another sheikh over there from the same سلسلة. فهنا إذا يتخذ بإذن مرشده هذا الشيخ مرشدا. In that situation, then he can take permission from his original sheikh. That can I, you know, take this person as a sheikh. فيكون الشيخ الأول شيخ الطريقة والثاني شيخ التعليم. So the first sheikh will be the sheikh of الطريقة. So that's the person who his sanad and stuff will go through. But the second will be the شيخ التعليم, شيخ التربية. This is the person who will actually work on him, do like fix him, do his تربية, so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix him, but he's the one who's going to work on him. فالعلاقة بالشيخين اثنين مذكورة في كتب القوم. And so connection with two sheikhs at the same time has been you know, mentioned in the books. Number two, امتدت علاقة البيعة مدة طويلة. That having connection of a person has bay'ah with a certain individual for a long time. ولكن لم يجد أي فائدة. He didn't find any type of benefit. فبايع شيخا آخرا بإذن الشيخ الأول. إذ المقصود الإصلاح. And in that situation, that he can take bay'ah with another sheikh, but then because the intention is إصلاح. And so, you know, a person's with a sheikh for like 5 years. 3 years, you know, and they're doing everything that the sheikh does, but, you know, somehow that connection is not there. I shouldn't say the connection is there, they're just not benefiting. They're sinning terribly, they're not advancing in their gnosis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so on and so forth. And the students sort of, you know, following the advices, but it's just sort of like a bad, perhaps that's not the source at that. It was that source at the time that the person should have had that person as a sheikh, but it may be an indication that the person should move on if he finds an appropriate person who, you know, within a few moments of staying with that person, for example, so many other things were solved, so on and so forth, and they can move on. يكون شيخ من أكابر شيخه حيا ويريد أن يبايعه لحصول البركة بإذن الشيخ بيعة بركة بيعة بركة. So there is a sheikh who is a sheikh of his own sheikh, right? That he's like from the elders of his own sheikh. And so the student wants to take bay'at for getting barakah with those sheikhs. So then that's permissible with the permission of the sheikh to take the bay'at for the sake of barakah. So a sheikh, Muhammad Abdul Malik Siddiqui, ata sheikh, Murshid Alim al-Durus. So Qaja Abdul Malik Siddiqui, rahimullah, who's the sheikh of Murshid Alim, who's the sheikh of Sheikh Zulfikar, he gave Sheikh Murshid Alim certain lessons. ثم بعثه إلى المدينة إلى مدينة شيخه مسكين مسكينpur. So then he sent him to the city مسكينpur حتى ينال توجهات أخرى. And so he sent him to مسكينpur after that, so that he could attain from the tawajjuhs of other mashayikh. Fa'ata lahu sheikh al-Sayyid Fadl Ali Qureshi, who is the sheikh of Abdul Malik Siddiqui, right? So basically it's like Sheikh Hussein sending me to Hazrat, right? That's the situation here. So like to Sheikh Zulfikar. So he, Sheikh Murshid Alim, no, Khaja Abdul Malik Siddiqui sent Sheikh Murshid Alim to Sheikh Abdul Malik Siddiqui's own Sheikh, which was Sheikh Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahimullah. So fa'ata Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahimullah, at-tawajjuhat iddat ayyaman. And so he gave him his tawajjuh for several days. Wa'ata lahu al-ijaza, and then he gave him ijaza, he gave him khilafa. وبايعه إن يجب بايعهم فتحققت هذه البيعة الثانية برضا الشيخ. So the second bay'ah was actually established with the pleasure and the permission and the accretions of the first sheikh. Okay, now it's just the 30th one. This is the last one. So إن انتقل الشيخ من هذه الدار الثانية فليدعو له ويوصل له الأجر والثواب حتى تدوم علاقة روحانية تدوم علاقة روحانية. Then if the sheikh passes away from this ephemeral life, a world, this passing world, then he should make dua for him, and he should send isal thawab for him. He should send thawab on his behalf by doing acts of worship. And sending the salab of those acts of worship to the sheikh. حتى تدوم علاقة روحانية, such that to maintain the spiritual connection. فإذا commentary, جميع أعضاء الثالث مستغرق في إحسانات من كان له ذريعة للوصول إلى الله تعالى. That all of the limbs of the student are drowning in the favors of that individual who was a means for a person reaching towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ تُوَفَى فَلْيَعْتَبِرْ إِسَالُ الصَّوَابِ كَأَنَّهُ يُهْدَى لَهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. And if he passes away, then he should deem that sending, doing إِسَالِ الثَّوَابِ and sending ثَوَابَ on his behalf, it is as if he's giving a gift to him every day. وَيُمْكِنُ إِسَالُ الثَّوَابِ, and you can send ثَوَابَ by reading Qur'an. reading Salat Nafila, not Fard Salah, but Nafil Salah, giving Sadaqah on their behalf, or giving Sadaqah and sending the Su'ab to them, building masjids and madrasas and schools. All of these are ways of making Isala Su'ab. Qala Allama Ash-Shami fi Bab Salat al-Janais. So Imam Shafi, who was one of the most prominent of Hanafi jurists, and actually one of the standards in giving fatawa in the Hanafi madhab, and he was also a great Sufi as well. And he's Shami, as the name implies, right? He's Syrian. Doesn't, when we say Hanafi, people often think Indo-Pak. If I'm not mistaken, he was a Syrian distraction. And actually, I've read one of his Muqaddama, one of his books, and it's, I mean, heavy, heavy tasawwuf. And the type, I mean, I always just knew him as a very, like, you know, stark jurist. And you sort of see him from only that light. But when I read his writings about how he would talk about his sheikh and stuff, I mean, I was really taken aback. I said, SubhanAllah. I mean, these things that we just are reading about, reading about in this kitab, like he was exemplifying. And some of those, like the tasawwuf things, were like so heavy, like really, really heavy stuff. I mean, if people like think, you know, if a casual observer to be reading it, he'd be like, oh man, what a divinity or something. If he just read it, it was like just any normal person. But this is what, like the one of the most knowledgeable of the Quran and Sunnah of all times. And it was his actually insight into deen that showed, that opened up those deeper realities of the deen, right? That, you know, he actually wrote, I think, about Qutubs and the way he addressed his teacher and stuff. I think that's what happened. Sheikh Khalid had sent me that document. He said, can you look into through this, looking for a very, read through this, looking to see if there's any, strong dalil from Muraqabah. And then after reading the whole thing, I was like, you know, after reading through this is like Muraqabah would be like the least of, like the easiest of things to prove, you know, after the type of things that he talked about. But I mean, this was obviously completely, what he wrote was in line with the Sharia, because this was a man of the Sharia who knew the Sharia. It's just that we don't know it. And then so when people don't know something or something is foreign, it's very, very quick to jump to the label on the bandwagon of putting the bid'ah word on it. So anyway, in Bab Salat al-Jana'is, and also in Bab al-Hajj, an al-Ghayr, يمكن إيصال الصواب جميع عبادات النافلة سوى الفرائض والواجبات. That it is possible for a person to send sawab for all of the ibadat, which are optional. That's the operative word here. Accepting, but not the obligatory acts or compulsory acts. وقال العلماء من يحج عن غيره يكون حج بدلا عنه يبشر به روحه في السماء. That whosoever makes hajj for someone else, what we call hajj, it will be hajj badal, on behalf of that other person. That person will get, his soul becomes happy in the heavens. وَيَجْعَلُ هَذَا الْحَجْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَيُجْعَلُ هَذَا الْحَجْ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And this person, doing hajj on behalf of another, he'll be made and written amongst, or be considered amongst the qanitin. This is wakum min al. What is the verse? Wakum min al qanitin. But to be qanit means to be obedient. So this is actually a level to be reached. You know, like zahidin, abrar, so on and so forth. So, person will be made and considered from the qanitin to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So We finished, alhamdulillah, this chapter on the different etiquettes of being of the Shaykh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring these into practice, bring the reality of these things into our lives. Let these not just be words, but things that translate into action, and allow us allow them to be elements that catalyze our progress towards getting close to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.